coming up, the Soul Savage Show with Q Lynn Green. Just a few minutes. Stay tuned, folks. Now I'm proud to break spirits down to the ground and never let you see the good things all around. Every time I see the light, I feel the slow. I look right out and the wind won't go. But that can't make me sad, just can't make me.
Made in Harlem. I mean, not one of us in here owns a poppy field. This thing is bigger than Nino Brown. This is big business. This is the American way.
I'm sure that the court was enlightened by your geopolitical tirade, Mr. Brown. Unfortunately, society at large is not on trial here. You are, Mr. Brown. Were you or were you not head of the narcotics consortium, the murderously bloody CMB?
Oath.
I could not hear you. Would you please speak up, Mr. Brown?
Yes, I was a member. But I was forced into this way of life. Hey, look, I've been dealing drugs ever since I was 12 years old. See, I didn't have the chances that you had, Miss Hawkins. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, Miss Hawkins.
Ooh, all right, cue Lynn. Right,
my favorite, that's my favorite part. The way he said her name, Miss Hawkins, like he was about to read her life. And he was just going in. Welcome to the Soul Savage Radio Show. I played that because me and Wizard Spice got the same birthday. I just found that out earlier this year. So that's my reverence to Wesley Snipes is that clip right there from New Jack City. That's my other part of there when he was saying, when he called that dude out, Christopher Williams' character, he's like, if I'm going down, I'm taking a whole lot of people with me. That's my favorite part when he says that.
That's a classic.
He said some other stuff in there. Yeah, it's a classic movie, but yeah. Shout outs to Wesley Snipes for having the same birthday as me. I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, welcome back. We back from a 2-week hiatus. I've come back a little Blexican, a little blackish, for real. You know, coming back from vacation and yeah, I'm blackish for real. Just sitting out in the sun. My uncle said I look like a black. Well, he said a black. I guess I could say it on the radio. Black ass Indian. That's what he said. That's what he said whenever I came. I was like, thank you, uncle. I appreciate that.
That was a compliment.
Right, exactly. Yeah, back again, me and EB co-hosting this thing. We'll get this thing started off right. EB, how was your week? What did you do the past 2 weeks since we've been home?
Work. Lots and lots of work. And I finally got a break, so I'm in D.C. now.
Oh, really?
That's all I
did. You on vacation or you just there?
No, I have a nephew who turned one last week, and he's having a birthday party. I'm trying to be the good uncle.
Oh, see, that's always good. How old is he?
One.
One? Just one?
Yeah. He won't
remember. That's not too bad yet. That's still the learning stage. They ain't get, when they get to two, that's when it gets terrible.
Right.
They just get awful and awful. But yeah. What'd you do? Did you check out their show, the Earth, Wind & Fire show? Did you ever get a chance to check it out?
I didn't. They came on, I believe they played on a Sunday, and I had to work.
Oh, that sucks. Because they were in two different spots in New York, I think. I can't remember. I don't know if it was. I know New York City for sure, but I could have sworn it was somewhere else in New York.
Yeah, the first one was, Well, the second one was in New York City. That was the big show with the Doobie Brothers and the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
That's the one I wanted to go. So I wanted to see everybody all at once.
Yeah, I went to the first day of my vacation day was on the 23rd on that Saturday. And when I got there, man, I was lit. I wouldn't even live like that. Like, we had a couple drinks, but I wouldn't even that. And then I got like a little water or whatever because I was getting a little thirsty during the Chic performance. And then with Earth, Wind & Fire, oh my God, it was a couple. It was like all y'all aunties and uncles was lit during that concert. I just went, if y'all was in the Dallas area at the Dallas show, all y'all aunties and uncles was lit. It was a couple sitting next to this dude had on like a golden linen suit. And I don't know how.
Golden linen.
It was like a golden linen. I didn't know you could get it in that color, but it was all the way down. He had some, he got fancy. He had some white shoes with some gold on the tips of it. Like, I mean, on the buckle, where the buckle's supposed to be on the shoe. It was like some dress shoes with a gold buckle. I was like, and then he had a fedora on. I was like, oh, he lit over here. And then they was like, his wife was like, all I had was water. And she was like, you want some of this? And she had a little bottle of Grey Goose. I was like, whatever y'all drinking on, that's what I'm drinking. And then she pulled that out, and I was like, all right, we lit over here. And then I drunk that water up and then put it in my water cup, and we was lit. She kept pouring it. And then whenever Fantasy came on, we was two-stepping. I was two-stepping with the dude with the linen suit on. We was jamming. That whole concert was lit.
That only happens at those kinds of concerts.
You can't go to
a Lil Uzi or whoever concert, and the Uzi people offering you. Yeah, they not gonna offer you no drinks.
They just gonna offer you perks and stuff. Like, you want something? Like, right. No, I don't need no perks. I'm good on pills. I don't take no pills. But if you go to, like, the show. Everybody from, if you listening from Dallas Station, Dallas area, I think Saturday night at 8, they perform, Frankie, Beverly, and Maze, and Ozzy Brothers, they performing tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. I don't know who's the headliner. I think it's a co-headline, but if you're going to be out there, if your auntie or uncle, if I catch one of y'all out there, just hit me up, and we can share drinks. Cause I'm gonna be lit again. It's gonna happen. Oh, and I got to see Verde and White. Like, this dude, I was wanting that to happen. And I just want to say, his hair smells immaculate. Like, it really smells good. It smells good.
You got that close to him?
Yeah. I hugged him. Like, he has a very, like, tiny waist. He's, like, snatched. Like, I don't know if he just works out and nothing like that, but he smells really good. I don't smell. I think the only person I smell like that was when I met Tyson Beckford in New York, and he smells real good. But other than that, the rest of them, like, I don't really smell in celebrities like that, but I definitely smell Birdie, because that hair, I tell you, it cascades, and it smells good. And his waist is snatched, and that's goals for me, because I'm trying to get like him.
His wife celebrated a birthday the other day.
Really? And she a Leo too? Oh yeah, shout out to everybody that got a birthday this week. Except for Jackie Christie, cause she don't, I kinda don't wanna represent for Leo's, cause she's one, and it's like, she's not, that's not gold at all to be Jackie Christie.
Right.
And that's another thing we forgot to talk about when we were talking about Raggedy People News, when we were talking about Love and Hip Hop, we should talk about Basketball Wise. You been keeping up with that?
Absolutely not.
Right. But I watched one, I think it was one, and like when it's on, like they had a marathon on, I was like, let me watch it. And it was just, she's like, when I heard that Evelyn was going to be on, I was like, oh, she's probably going to beef with Jackie, because Jackie is kind of out there. So I was like, oh, she's going to have an issue with her. And then I think Evelyn was just assessing her, and then she came to the conclusion she was crazy, and then some kind of drama with Jackie's daughter or something like that. It's just wild. I'm like, wow. And then she's supposed to get into it with Shawnee or something like that. Cause I guess Shawnee was on a radio show talking about her daughter. I don't know. She was saying that she didn't want to have a side to it, but Jackie all in her feelings about it. So I don't know. But yeah, Jackie's crazy. She's like on a whole nother level. Like, she's just in a whole nother world. I try not to watch it, but it's kind of entertaining. But Tammy, I feel like I said one goal in life was for me to listen to Snoop Dogg and like smoke with him and eat snacks and listen to old school music on vinyls. Like, that's one of my goals is to smoke a Newport with Tammy. And those are two things I don't even do, but I want to do it because her vinyl chronicles are hilarious. I feel like that's the only reason why I watch, because Tammy, she's a little out there too, but that's just a goal, to smoke a Newport. And that's probably not even her flavor. She probably smoked like Marlboros and stuff like that. But kind of a goal, a little bit. Yeah, I don't know what kind of cigarette. She just be cracking me up how she's randomly pulling out a cigarette while they tape. I'm like, girl, you can't wait till after the camera's cut off to smoke one. You gotta light up right now.
Great.
That show is crazy. But yeah, I guess we get into the update. We spoke to have Tiffany on. I don't know if she's coming on or not, but I asked them, they had some questions for her, and they had some more for you, Eric. They wanted to know, do you write for anybody, for any publication?
I do not write for, Right. I do not write for any publication, but I did just launch my website, so all of my writing will be on there.
You write? What you writing about? I'm about to go
music,
through it right
of course,
now.
Black culture, black music. It's still new.
Did you just start this website? When you start this? That's an announcement. You should have been announcing that.
You know what?
That's
thing.
What I've been, did you?
That's what I've been doing in those 2 weeks. I've been getting the website up.
What you posting about?
Music,
I'm asking you now.
Culture.
Now I'll be in those.
You know, everything I would post about on Twitter.
Oh man, so you're gonna have like a bunch of Beyonce pictures X'd out with her celebrity
every
friends
day.
On there.
Every day.
That's dope. I'm just gonna check it out right now. Is it just eb.com?
It's ebforprez.com.
ebforprez.com. The people listening, y'all simultaneously look that up like I'm doing at the same time while you're listening to this show. And let's see if we got some more questions for you. Oh yeah, we still getting feedback from that show. People got back to that hip hop Black Music Month. That episode is just gonna live on. I feel like it's gonna be one of those shows. If y'all didn't listen to that show, it was crazy. And I know Will don't want to talk about it, but that show was so funny.
I told you I was gonna be quiet tonight, didn't I?
I'm just saying, still getting feedback from it.
You know what? Guess what? It's all in fun, and I'm glad that you're getting good ratings behind it, so no problems at all. Hey, EB, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Will, I'm good. How are you?
Man, I was just kicking back. I told Q-Lynn, I said, look, I'm just going to have you, let you and EB just go and do your thing today, right? I was just going to stay out of there. But, Q-Lynn could not help herself. She had to bring me in, so that's okay. That's quite all right.
Well,
but, hey, Q-Lynn,
I was just saying the listeners, they support him with the comments on that.
Okay, well, good. If they love it, I love it. But you know, I'm just going to make a quick comment though. Housewives, Basketball Wives. You know, you were talking about that earlier. I have to agree with you. Jackie, there's something wrong with her. And I feel sorry for Doug Christie. I really, really do. Jackie.
Right.
Something's wrong with her.
There's something not clicking off in that head. She nasty on top of that. Like, she's just so inappropriate. Like, just be telling all her business. Like, yes, girl, I put pineapples. Like, girl, nobody need to know all that information. Why are you telling people that you dish with pineapples? Don't nobody need to know that. I just randomly threw that out. If people that watch the show, she said that during one of their get-together, it was like some kind of kickback they had, and they talking about sex or something, and she talking about how she used pineapples to refresh her little situation going down. Now, I'm like, that was not, you don't even need to say that in private or public. Like, that was not something, you could have kept that all the way to yourself. Yeah, it don't sound sanitary at all. And then it was, they were talking about it self-cleans itself. I'm like, listen, this conversation is getting weird. And I don't even want to romanticize the thought of entertaining this conversation with Jackie right now. Because y'all should have just ended it like, Jackie, just stop talking. That's what the conversation should have ended. Like, you don't need to go to explanatory why that's not sanitary. That's what they were trying to tell her. They're like, girl, that ain't good. I'm like, no, y'all could have just stopped it. Like, Jackie, keep that to yourself. That's what I was saying. Like, we didn't need this information. And then she's obsessed with the girls. I'm like, girl, you know, quit being weird. Like, these girls, you too old for that. It sounds a little creepy coming to you. You're in your 50s. Like, I expect that from younger girls to be talking like that, but you too old to be talking like that and then acting like that. But yeah, it was just, yeah, you absolutely right. Something wrong with us. A little off in the head, just a tinge. But yeah, trying to look up some more updates. Oh, people were commenting. Yeah, we got it. I blocked some of these people talking about the Umar Johnson thing because I ain't got time to be sitting up here arguing with you dudes that Hotep Nation or whatever. I ain't got time for all that. I know
Wait,
one. They said that
they're on Umar's side.
Yeah, they all were like, which I figured, they were saying that we were all playing into the main, somebody wrote me an email, said that we were playing into the man's hand and that is disrespectful to how we're getting on a show like this, talking about black people like this in front of went on a whole tangent thing like they always do, trying to say that he's helping the black race and all this stuff, and that if you're not with him, then you're against him and all this other stuff. I got like
he's helping? Messages. Wow, like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, if y'all feel that way, that's y'all, but I'm speaking the truth. What his definition of truth is, I don't agree with, and I don't co-sign. And then somebody else pointed out to me that I was saying the same thing he was saying about the black churches. I'm like, no, not really, because he's actually getting, when I said that, he was talking about that they were taking in so much money, millions and millions of dollars, which is true. But what he's right. saying, he basically is determining that we need to have that wealth. Like, he's not saying it like put it in the community and create stuff with. He wants to take all that money. Like,
right. Keep your money.
Not help the community. I said put that money in there to help people like bankers and stuff that could teach kids how to be bankers if they wanted to do that, if they were good with money, stuff like that. Like, teach kids
right.
in the churches about that. But what he was talking about is completely different. His is just more of self-serving, more of helping himself more than black people. Because all he does is criticize. And the only solution, like I said, he came up with was creating a black school to where he can brainwash your son. That's it. Like, that's his only suggestion. And he gets mad at y'all for not giving him money to start the school. So that's what his issue is. And so I'm like, for me, I don't even entertain any of these people. I'm not supposed to go back and forth with, because some of this stuff is simple. And I feel like his message is clear. And if y'all get sucked into whatever it is he's trying to say, whether or not if what he's saying is like almost right, I'm still not going to agree to it just from the intention behind what he says. Because he doesn't mean any good from my point of view. I don't think he means any good to anybody. But that's just me. And if y'all agree to it, that's y'all. But y'all not about to make me trying to say, oh, if you do this. And there was a lot of them. There's a lot of people that had an issue with the interracial thing talking about that you can't be support black people if you married to the one person. I just don't understand that logic. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, I'm like, so basically nobody in the history of America that was a historical figure like Frederick Douglass or Malcolm X or any of those people, or Harry Belafonte, Sidney Poitier, none of those people that track history with social justice and all that stuff doesn't matter, because they happened to marry somebody white or slept with somebody
right.
white. It doesn't matter. So I'm like, yeah, none of that makes sense. Apparently they like, yeah, but I don't want to insult people. That ain't my thing I do, because I used to do that all the time on Twitter. All the time, I would just call you dumb and then say some other choice words that we can't say on the radio. But I've grown to the point to where I just let y'all do y'all thing. Y'all just stay loud, wrong, and just stay over there, you know. And some
very
other people loud and wrong. A lot of people loud and wrong with the R. Kelly situation, but we'll get to that when we get to the Raggedy People news. Yeah, somebody else's birthday. It's a lot of people have a lot of celebrities with birthdays. I know Vivica Fox had a birthday. I'm trying to remember what day her birthday
wow.
is on. I think it was last week in July. I didn't know that. I think it's on the 28th. I need to look it up. But Vivica Fox, who else? More people, celebrities. Jennifer Lopez, I think hers was last week. Those are celebrities or whatever. Who else? Oh, yeah, James Baldwin. The late James
one.
Baldwin had a birthday yesterday. And yeah, if y'all gotta check out that I'm Not Your Negro documentary, is pretty cool. I think Samuel Jackson narrated. Have you seen that? The documentary?
Not yet. I haven't seen it, but I've heard great things about it.
Oh, it's really good. And then also you get the book too. It's from the book I'm Not Your Negro. But yeah,
right.
I feel like James Baldwin was one. I think I was like, and it was like books I was reading from other authors. I think Maya Angelou, I was reading one Maya Angelou book, and she mentioned his name. And I want to say more than one book, but there was one book that made me, that read, and when I read it, saw the author's name on there, I just would go to the school's library and look it up. And so I looked up, and he had, like, so many books on there, like, you know, I'm trying to remember the first one I read. I want to say it was I'm trying to think. I can't remember it, but I just remember reading. I was just reading it just to read it. I wasn't even taking in that he was like a like a really big figure in being an author and all that stuff. I didn't even take in that. I was just reading it just cause. And then when I got older, it was like his quote, stuff that I would read from him, like that famous quote of him saying that to be Negro in America is to be constantly in a state of rage. And then, like, as soon as I read that, it was like every day of that year, it was like some Caucasian person trying me on some, like, racist stuff. And it's like, really?
Yep.
Like, this is really happening in the year of 2000, whatever, that it happened. I'm like, I didn't even know stuff like that existed. But then just reading his stories is just a phenomenal. And I think later in the show we're going to play a clip. But right now we're going to go to break so we get into this Raggedy People news. Will you cue up the song? And then when we come back, we'll get into Raggedy People news.
You're the girl who makes me feel good.
Welcome back to Studio W. This is the Soul Savage Show.
Hey.
Your hosts, EB and Q Lynn Green.
That is one of my favorite songs.
The jam right there. You just put that on in the whip and you just be jabbing. That's the jam right there. Play, turn that up again. Just play it all the way again right there. The joint. Do the pie. The joint. I just want to hear that intro. If you can't get into, if you can't hear that intro and stand up or whatever, turn it up in the car, something wrong with you. That is like the blackest song ever. When that bass,
the bass
hit,
line. Yeah, that bass line.
Woo! That joint be getting me hype in the car. I just turn it all the way. It kind of reminds me of that when Cedric the Entertainer played it during his set. During the, Kings of Comedy, I remember that too. I was like, it reminds me of that too. When he's like, you gotta turn it down when you're in the car trying to focus when you're trying to park. I do be doing that too. You turn the, I don't know what that has to do with, when you parking, with turning the radio down, but I be turning yeah, cause I do that every time. I'm like, wait, let me concentrate. Let me turn this down
real quick. Right, you gotta
don't hit nobody. But yeah, we got Tiffany back on. She back again. Hi guys.
Tiffany. Hello.
You got a whole lot of, it was a whole lot of, emails about you. They was wanting to know, they all up in your business. They saw your picture on there and they want to know your status. They just all up in your business. They want to know if you married, if you, all this stuff. I didn't want to ask questions, but they asked me. I didn't want to know if these people asking. They be a nosy. Somebody told me to ask. It was you married or, yeah.
No, I'm single.
And that don't mean go in her DMs either. As soon as people hear that, they're like, oh,
you
I got a shot.
All in her DMs now.
Right. I be telling them I'm the most eligible girlfriend in Oklahoma right now. That's what I tell them. Just find the irony in those two words together, then you get it. But yeah, I just say that. They be like, what? I'm like, yeah, that's that. Just find the irony in there and you'll get it. But it is somebody else, wanted to ask, have you, what's your favorite interview you've done with any of the publications you write for? What's your favorite interview you've done?
That's a good question.
It is actually a good question because I've had quite a few. I would have to say my favorite would have to be whenever I interview Common.
I'm jealous.
When he first came out with B, whenever he's about to release. Yeah. I got to go into the studio with him before it was released to hear some of it. And, you know, it was a really great interview. I mean, we vibed, you know, I realized how much he actually ate because the interview was like, it was supposed to be an hour long, but it ended up being like 4 hours and he ate like four times during the interview. So it was just like, yeah, he's real cool, real down to earth, really respectful dude. So that was one of my favorites. And I have to say tied with that, would probably be Busta Rhymes because
really?
Yeah, because me and him talked for like, that was another one that was supposed to be like 30 minutes, and we ended up talking for like 3 hours. Like, we knew each other forever, and I think, you know, those are the best interviews to me because you start getting information from them, and, you know, because they trust you. But this also comes with a lot of responsibility with them, too, because now they're revealing things to you that don't necessarily need to go on record. So it's kind of, you have to use some discretion. So I really do like those type of interviews.
That's dope. And you said, What album was it that he was on that when you interviewed him? Or was he, did he have an album out?
Yeah, Busta.
When you interviewed Busta?
The Big Bang. So yeah. This is when he was.
Oh, that's when he had cut the dreads.
Yes,
right.
Honey, yes.
Y'all real excited?
That's when he was in shape, because now he's been like a Subway sandwich now, so the same. Wow. That's when he was kind of in shape when that happened, so.
Right. He wasn't a Jamaican in a little coat. He was actually in shape.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he got the little stomach. I've seen it. It was at the, I think it was the bad, last year when Puffy had that Bad Boy reunion concert. He came out on one of the shows, and that stomach was out. Like, he always wearing these elaborate coats, but got that stomach out. I'm like, that's the point of putting the coat on, sir. You gotta button that up. You can't just be got a coat on and then not cover your stomach. Like, that's the whole purpose of you putting it on, right?
Right. That's where the West Indian is coming out of them, though, because I'm Jamaican, so that's how they start. That's how I say they, but that's how we start dressing. Look, I told my homegirl.
Oh, he got the most.
Let the roof come out. Let me know.
Right. You say you've been doing this for over 15 years, right? 15 years. What? Doing journalism. Mm-hmm. I guess I asked, have you had any people you've interviewed to where it was like, you didn't feel like it was the, not necessarily the best one, but like, they didn't answer the questions, like the specific questions you had, like, they weren't really asking, or they were kind of standoffish with asking a question, and it was like limited. You haven't had any experiences like that, have you?
Yeah, and that would be considered a worst. And to be honest with you, it's funny, but now, because I actually interviewed him later and it was better, but that would have been T.I. Because I interviewed T.I. whenever he had dropped, what was his first album? The one with 24s on it? Grand Hustle, I think it was. But anyways, whatever that album
Hustle,
was.
Homie.
Yeah. It's whenever he had dropped that album and he was beefing with Lil Flip. So he was new to the game, so and a lot of times the new artists, especially whenever they blow up real big, they want to come off as Hollywood. So at the time, during that time, whenever he was doing it, it was kind of popular to kind of act like you didn't want to answer questions on TV. But whenever you're doing print, you can't do that, because then we can't write anything. You know what I mean? So that was literally like grand opening, grand closing. Like, that interview legit lasted like 11 minutes before I was like, man, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? So I had to go ahead and cut that off.
Ooh, I don't think I've had any that were like bad. I think it was mostly the people that were in charge of like the event managers, it's always the outside people I have trouble with more than the tour managers or whatever, because most of the time if they're in there or whatever and I'm already there, it's mostly the people. Like, I only had one to where it was bad. It wasn't necessarily Bilal's people. I interviewed Bilal, and it was the spot we were in, I didn't know anything about, and then it was more trouble getting them, but I was just getting to get the pictures for the show. I wasn't even trying to interview them. But the person I was on the phone with was being an a-hole, so I had to go through his people to get the interview, and I didn't even want to do an interview. It ended up being my first one for the website, but I wasn't even trying to do the interview yet. I was trying to wait, but till the album came out. But I was like, okay, this is the only way I'm gonna get the picture, so I'm gonna do that. And then I hit up Jay Wiggins, shout out to him, and then came in and we did it. But yeah, I think that's the only thing I've ever had trouble with, and that's a rarity. I think it's just mostly people that are not used to dealing with media press like that. That's the only people I get issue with. But what about those are the listeners' questions. That one was my question, but this, I have another one. With journalism, do you feel as though, like with the fake news and all that stuff, you think it'll ever be like come back around to where people would appreciate like factual stuff and not necessarily like always gossip all the time with every news cycle, but just appreciate like when people like fact check stuff on like certain publications? You think it'll come point to where they respect it more, or you think it's just kind of lopsided?
I hope so, because right now it isn't even. Right now, like, to me, that's a two-part question, because it's not even about respect at this point. It's just about wanting to be in, or that what you're reading is legit. You know what I mean? Like, because whenever I was young, you know, I I studied current events whenever I was in like fifth grade. Like that was part of our curriculum. And I mean, so it has a lot to do with our school system and the programs and things like that that they offer and have eliminated. I contribute that to it as well. But to me, if you're a grown, you know, I don't know if we can cuss, but if you are a grown up,
everything but the S word.
Okay.
Even though I said it like 27 times the other week, but it's fine.
You can say, if you are a grown ass man or woman, to me, it's your responsibility to fact check. Now, you know, we're not talking about celebrity news because we all know that the Inquirer has been around with the bogus news. But when we're dealing with like current events and things that really can affect and shape the world around you, and people like don't want to take the time to just actually see if this is true, that's whenever I start getting kind of nervous because, you know, and I hate to liken it to such, but that's the truth. That's how Hitler was able to take over Germany, was people stopped reading and stopped caring. And then he started encouraging people to burn books and things like that. And so that's why, to me, it's a horror. It's like almost being in a horror movie, because if people get that ignorant to where they just believe a headline, and that's another thing, too. People don't read the article. They just look at the headline and they
don't
want to argue.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yep.
That's the absolute worst.
They just
read the headline. Yeah, and they don't read nothing else but that. I'm like, how you can form an opinion? It was one article I did about, it was my biggest one, but I hate that it was like even with haters and with people that loved it, because I knew it was going to be split, but the people that hated it didn't even read it. It was called, Why It's Okay for Non-Black People to Do Soul Music. And they just read the article, and then all these whole things
went out.
Like, oh, and they were like, oh, you the white man slave and all this other stupid stuff. Like they said, they gave us, I was telling Eric, they were telling us that, we were feeding into the white man's plan about, Umar Johnson and not, praising him. I'm not giving Umar Johnson praise for what he's doing in the black community. They said we should be ashamed of ourselves. That's what they said about the last show. There's a few people that, right. I was like, I just paid their bond just like I paid this paper I just kicked out the way. That's about as much as I care about their opinion. But yeah, they just got mad about the article and then they did it on, they didn't do it to my personal page. They came on my website page talking trash. And then I guess they didn't expect for me to respond because I was like, okay, what you didn't like about it? And then they were like, oh, well, this, and the third. I'm like, well, that's not what I said in the article. I'm like, if you would have read it, and then they didn't answer. Some of them didn't even answer me because they didn't read it. They just saw the headline and just assumed. But if they would have read it, they would saw I was giving praise to, like, the sole black artist. Like, y'all get mad at Adele and whoever for selling so many records. But I'm like, you don't support a Letticy or Layla Hathaway when they put out albums. Mm-hmm. Like, actual people that put out soul albums. Y'all get mad at them for the people that actually, like, want to listen to it. White, because it's actually white folks, they listen to a lot, especially in the UK, they listen to a lot of soul music. Y'all get mad at that, but y'all won't support it. I'm like, it goes both ways. You gotta, and then me saying that y'all support Tory Lanez, I'm like, I was just going in on a bunch of stuff, but they just dismissed all that and just saw the headline. But yeah, I definitely get that, because I'm like, wow, y'all just read the headline and that's it. And then some of them be lying too, because they be like, oh, I saw it. I'm like, well, what did it say? And then they just like it. They don't even click on it. I was like, no, you didn't click on it. They just be saying stuff. I'm like, you could have told me you didn't look at it. You have to say that you read it. And I'm like, well, because I'm going to ask you, how'd you like it? And then some of them, I like it when they say, like, I'll look at it later that day or whatever. I haven't had a chance to look at it. And I appreciate that more than you trying to act like you was actually supporting it. I'm like, because you can't tell me what I said on there. Like, what kind of stuff is that? But yeah, I get that completely. I'll ask one more question and then we're gonna get to the Raggedy People news before we run out of time. I was gonna ask Tiffany, with journalism, what's your take on like freelancing versus like doing your own thing? I mean like freelancing with other, I guess, mainstream publications or whatever kind of publication that pays versus like doing your own thing. Do you think it's a difference or do you think, or would you suggest anybody like not freelance or, cause I feel some kind of way about it, but I get it, but I don't know how to, I'm trying to, phrase it a certain way. Like,
Right. With people so that freelance. Would I recommend to being a staff writer or a freelance writer?
Yeah. Write for your own stuff or do your own thing. Like, if you having trouble, I feel like not all, but don't get a chance to, like, they don't get to pick the title of their article, or it's limited to this many words or whatever. They can't go past this, and then they got it. Beyond just the editor looking at it, but just they don't really have control over what they write. And I would say, like, if they aspire to, like, do, like, their own thing to where they had control over their article and stuff like that, would you recommend them, like, do freelancing for a little while before they do their own thing, or would you just say do both?
Honestly, as a writer, I would say do both, because what happens is, like, right now I do my own. I am a staff writer, and then on top of that, I freelance, just depending on which company I'm with. And right. But for people who are passionate about writing and they love, especially like they love expressing their opinions and things like that. I know I have a lot of friends who have gone on to bigger things, like working at Apple Music and things like that, by maintaining mm-hmm. their own blog, or they're guest bloggers now for like the New York Times, or, right. you know, Madame Noir or something like that, because of the fact that they just had their own interests that they really loved and they just did it and it was captivating. So I definitely think that as a writer, you should freelance, because that's how you pay your bills and try to be a staff right. writer. But you should also, you know, keep honing your craft by doing what you love, because that's how you build an audience to support you.
And yeah, that sounds,
you know, if you bring in hits, that's how you get paid the most money.
Right. Yeah, you answered it perfectly, because that's what I was asking. I think more in terms, I think some want to come out the gate making money. I get so many questions on, like, how, you don't really start making money like that, unless you get, like, something, like, right off the bat, like, but you gotta have, like, most of the time, it's just about the views. Anyway, with some of the ones, unless you're doing direct advertisement, that's, like, the only way you're gonna really make some money. But if you're doing, like, paid per clicks, and it's a lot of them that do that, think that if they just do that, and then they'll make a lot of money. I'm like, yeah, it depends on how many viewers you're getting, but, hello?
Yes, we're still here. This is Buzz. Wow, I guess we have a little glitch. Is Q Lynn still on?
Q Lynn.
Oh.
Q Lynn disappeared for a minute.
Oh, we must have lost Q Lynn. That's okay. Enjoying the interview so much here. This is Studio W the Buzz. I think we'll go to a short break right now. We'll be back here. This is Studio W the Buzz. Hey, EB, is Q Lynn back? Okay, what we'll do is go right to a song. Stay tuned to Studio WWE.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Well, Q.
I was talking. I didn't know what happened.
Well, we didn't. We couldn't hear you.
Oh, well, I guess my mic cut out a little bit. I think I turned it off.
Okay.
My bad. Okay, I was just going over what Q saying about freelancing. I was just saying that people just, I think they, that come in that's doing both for whatever they feel as though some of them think that you just kind of can't make your money. But like you said, like, it's, you, to make money, you have to freelance, but I feel like some of them don't want to. I don't know what it is specifically, but I just think that some of them think that you just come out the gate making money. I don't feel like it's like that. I feel like,
oh,
if
no.
you.
Yeah, the life of a writer, listen, whenever I just recently started, you know, making money over the last, what, say 10 years. My first 7 in it, well, actually my first 5 in it was free. You know, and I'm talking about, I had to, I was Johnny on the spot for everything. You know, I'm coming out of pocket, you know, to be there, because you have to build up your rep, you know, like, you have to build up until I got to the point. It wasn't until I got to the point where celebrities were asking for me that I started getting paid. Because, you know, like I said, I mean, I never gave up. You know, I kept a full-time job and everything else, because I knew this is what I wanted to do. And so, I mean, I was, like, at the time I was living in Maryland, and so, because I was in college. And so I'm taking the train, you know, working a full-time job, going to school full-time, and I had my kids.
I'm taking a train, going to New York, going to these junkets, you know, sometimes there till 2 in the morning, taking a train back to make sure I get to my first class at 8 a.m., just do it all over again. You know what I mean? And I did that for like 3 years. And then from there, I moved to New York, so I was always, you know, on the scene and all the other stuff. And then, you know, that opened doors, of course, working with Def Jam and all that stuff. But ultimately, though, the writing portion of it, it didn't start paying until, like I said, probably about 10 years ago. And that's whenever I had kicked in the door and started working. I was working with The Source first, you know, so they was paying. But then they hit that snag with Benzino and everything. But then XXL started paying. So, you know, but a lot of that stuff that I was doing was strictly just me building up my clips so that I could start letting them know I had hits, and I also was able to bring, you know, the good interviews, and that's exactly how I got paid.
Yeah, I don't think I ever freelanced. I just started the website. Like I said, I just randomly did it. I was a musician, a full-time musician. This year it'd be 10 years. It was a 10-year anniversary in January 20th. I think that's when I started getting paid doing it or whatever. But I would even, like, this website, it just came to me in my sleep because I always wanted to do it. But my first one that I tried, because I had the initiative to start one, but I couldn't get the concept to come together because I didn't know what I wanted to talk about. I didn't know if I want to talk about, because I kind of like sports then, and then I knew I wanted to talk about religion and different things, but it wouldn't come together. And then I just stopped doing it after a while, and then life started happening, and then I was just in a really good space, and then everything started lining up. And then one day I was just fell asleep, and like three in the morning, the ideas came to me, and I just thought it was cool. I just thought the idea of having a website, and then once those ideas came to me in my sleep, that I started writing them down, and like majority of the categories you see on my website when you go on there, that came to me in my sleep. Like it was just randomly happened. And then it's just stuff that, like, as soon as I put the concept down, it was like late December, and you know, it's like with graphic designers, they're like usually busy during the holidays. They're usually going out of town or something like that. So I had to wait until January to get back with some graphic designers, which I was cool with because I was still I still didn't have a name yet. I was just going off of the adrenaline of starting it. And then by the time we got started, I had the name, I had what I wanted the website to look like, and then I got with some interns. That's how I knew this was all supposed to happen, because I got with my old instructor from technical school, and I wasn't even going to school for graphic design or anything like that. It was, at the time, it was called internet work. It was like computer repair. They break apart computers and stuff like that. But I wasn't interested in doing that. I just took it just because in high school, whatever. And then I hooked back up with my instructor, and I was like, okay, I'll pay whoever to do this, whatever. And he's like, okay, just give them your ideas. And it was like 3 or 4 of them working on it. And it only took them like 2 weeks to get like the banner and the logo and all that stuff. And when it came time to pay him, he said I didn't even have to pay him, that they just signed a contract with me and they'll do whatever that needs the little glitches or whatever. He did that all for free. So it was like credit for them on their, like one of their courses or whatever during the summer or whatever. So yeah, I didn't even have to pay him for that. And I was like, man, that's crazy, because those things cost like thousands of dollars depending on who you go to get graphics. And it only took them like 2 weeks, and they spent like hours doing it. So I was like, this is cool. And then as soon as I put the web up, like that happened in January, then February I published it, and I had like maybe 8 to 10 posts there. And the first one, I think I was like writing on like Marsha Ambrosia and Kelly Price, and then they like retweeted it to their followers, and then all that their fans came over. I got like 1,000 hits within like hours. I was like, what the hell? I was like, usually people don't, I didn't even expect all that. I was just expecting like maybe like 10 people that I knew on Facebook or something like that, sir. But it was crazy, and just that. But yeah, I didn't start out making no money at all. I think the check that I did for like an advertising check was like $1.70 something. It was awful. It was like $1.70 from the, because I was doing it, because I didn't know anything about direct advertising yet. I was just doing the pay per click, and the pay per click was like $1.75. I was like, wow. I was like, yeah, so this stuff though, it took a long time for me to even get a check that was worth, like, I couldn't even take this somewhere else. I was like, luckily my bank would take it, but anywhere else, they actually charge you for the print of the paper, like $3 or something like that for it. Like, this ain't even enough to cash anywhere else. $1.70. But yeah, and then just going from that to like getting all these different interviews and stuff, it's still crazy to me that I'm still doing this. Like all this span, just the website span from this is still crazy to me. But yeah, I guess we move on to Raggedy People News.
You've been doing a really good job, so that's awesome. And I hope that you know, it continues on and it continues to grow because it's pretty dope.
Thank you. I appreciate that because this all came from my mind. Like the first thing I said, because it took so long, it took me 4 years from me having like writer's block about like how to create it. It took so long. And then the first thing I said, if I get this out here, I'm like, as soon as I get this out here, I'll be good. And that's my spirit with everything. Like if somebody don't call me back, if a manager don't call me back, or if a publicist don't, I just think about like how long it took me to start it. I'm like, if I could just get this website up, I just go back to that thought process and just keep it like that. But I appreciate that because it's definitely hard. But yeah, I'm just passionate about writing about soul music and stuff like that. So I think the passion that it keeps me going, because if it wasn't for that, then I would have stopped like long time ago. But yeah, I appreciate that because I appreciate everybody that's listening or go to the website, because even if you don't like it, I appreciate it because you didn't have to stop what you was doing to get on there or listen to me ramble on the radio show for hours. I don't know why y'all do that still, but I'd be talking stupid all day. But yeah, we get to the Raggedy People News before we run out of time. I guess you could go first, EB, and talk about some of the stories you had, because I only had like a couple.
Raggedy People News, let's start with R. Kelly.
Oh, man.
Jesus
Christ.
It's just it's entirely too much going on right now. It's a cult. It's what did they say? He got these girls locked up and holding them prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see the video?
Right.
Did you see the video of the girl that was released when she was trying to say that she's not being held prisoner? And it's a strange shadow.
Yeah.
That you can see, like, they're telling her what to say, telling her not to talk. Like, I don't know what.
Yeah, shadows moving. Yeah, shadows moving when she was, because they asked her one question, and then she was like, oh, I'm not going to answer that. And then I saw somebody, like, moving in the back. Like you said,
right.
There's a lot of observant people that were saying it on the internet. I was like, yeah, that is a shadow in there. And then I watched back and was looking at it. I was like, yeah, there's somebody moving every time she says something. And then her voice, like, she sounds like a teenager. Like, and I'm like, this is weird. Because you're like, how old is she? Of age? I know she's of age, but is she like 19? Yeah, 20?
20.
And she sounds 20, like a 20-year-old. Like, she looks like she's barely on puberty, like preteen. Like, she sounds like a preteen. And I'm like,
I mean,
this is weird.
Worse. I mean, when they ask her, are you free to leave? And she said, when they ask her, are you free to leave? And she said, I don't want to talk about that, or I don't want to.
Right. Like,
that.
What do
I
you mean?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yes, no, are you free to leave?
Yeah. And
like,
then
I
it was.
I would ask that. Like, girl, bye.
Right, and then it was one.
Think of R. Kelly trying to pee on you. That's what I need you to do.
Right, exactly. And then she did another one outside to prove that she was not being there against her will, but she was fully clothed. I'm like, it's summertime. Where is she at? They must have got real. R. Kelly must got good air conditioning for her to be in a full body suit in summertime. I'm like, what's
right.
going on? Or is she covering up something? Or something going on.
She had that turtleneck body con dress on. I was like, it's 100 degrees out there. Like,
really? And if she in Atlanta, then they said it was something in Atlanta. Girl, bye. Something going on.
Oh, man.
You in Atlanta and you in a full body. Nah, that can't happen. But yeah, I think I'm more, not just the story, because there was a lot of people said they couldn't read the rest of the article. Because I read the whole thing. And they were saying they were disgusted by it. They had to stop it at some point. There was some people that were telling me and about, I guess, how it was like one of the girls, that was in the video when he had that, child pornography, case thing with the videotape or whatever. They said that girl is the one actually coaching them how to have sex with him. And it was a lot of them that said that they couldn't read that past that part because that was a signal, which it is. But it was just weird. It was just weird to me, all the people that are, like, forced, or they're making these weird-ass, like, comparisons with, like, Hugh Hefner. I didn't know where that was coming from. It was like, oh, y'all support R. Kelly, but you support Hugh Hefner. Like, what is, I didn't understand that. What does that mean? I don't understand that reference either way. Like, does he have a situation like that going on? Because I didn't understand that.
No, so what they were trying to say, they were trying to compare it to the Playboy Mansion, in that all of these women go and live in, or have been going for years and years to live in Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion. But what they have to understand is that is a choice that those women make for their careers. Hugh Hefner is not holding anybody hostage. Hugh Hefner does not personally live in the Playboy Mansion. I know that's how it's advertised, but he doesn't live there. Anybody who compares the two, I think at that point, that's when you just have to use the term caping. Like, you are caping R. Kelly at this point.
So that's where they were just going off of that. It wasn't any scandal or anything with him.
No. They were going off the fact that Hugh Hefner has a Playboy mansion. So basically they're comparing these young women that R. Kelly is linked to to these Playboy playmates. That's what they were trying to do.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. It's just so like, unimaginably stupid that I wouldn't even, I was thinking they were comparing it because he had a certain situation. But if you're just basing it off of that, first off, y'all don't even get invited there. So how do you know what's going on there?
Right.
I know some friends that went to it, but they say it's nothing like that. Like, they just go there to party to have fun. It might be some rooms where something's going on, but they say most part is just like a party. And I'm pretty sure he's not holding people there against their will. To make that, oh my God, people are just stupid. I really thought that was I just saw the meme of it, and I didn't understand but when you just explain it, I'm just like, wow, I can't get to that level of stupid.
I actually had a lot of people on Twitter who blocked me, when the whole day the story broke, because they thought that I was in some way, advocating for R. Kelly doing what he's doing or keeping these women. Which was not. What I was trying to explain is, you know, in my humble opinion, as, you know, a self-professed musicologist, R. Kelly is a musical genius. Like, that's what he does. Like, he's been doing this for almost 30 years now. R. Kelly has been writing, producing, singing, you know, all of that. But I think they took that as me saying it's okay for him to do whatever he's doing with women of whatever age, or girls of whatever age, and that's not what I was saying at all. What I was saying was that I'm one of those people who can separate, in most cases, the artist from the person. So I'm not going to stop listening to the R. Kelly music that I do like, because The Chocolate Factory is forever one of my favorite albums. Like, I'm not going to stop listening to that. But at the same time, R. Kelly is sick, in my opinion. He's sick. Like, something needs to be done about him.
Yeah.
He got to be locked up or institutionalized, something. Something has to happen, because he's not going to change. Now, what he has changed, in our eyes, I guess, from the outside looking in, it looks like he's now choosing girls who are 18 and over, who are legal.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. With his track history, it's not really a plus, but I guess I'll give him a small applause for being smart and choosing women who can legally consent to whatever he's doing. But if he's holding somebody hostage, that's a whole different ballgame,
My whole thing with it, when I said on Facebook, I put a post up there because I was disturbed by the whole thing, but it was before that. I want to say it was like 2011, I forgot, but I think it was the same journalist, I could be wrong, but, that did like thorough research of like, and he had like so many like documentation, like actual, like reports of like the police reports filed, and it was like over 20 women, like I didn't even, he had it like separate files to where you could click on it, and it showed you like like the actual police report of the women and their names on there.
Right.
And it was, some of them, from certain counties to where he lived at. It was like, all of them was in Chicago.
Right.
It was, all counties in, Chicago. I forgot the names of them, but just reading those, that article right there, it was like, all right, I can't. And then it's like, it's not even just the fact, I get it, like he has the hits or whatever, but to me, when I read these articles and stuff like, and all the things that that details, like what he does sexually and all these things, it kind of mimics in his music, and I hear it in there,
right.
And it's weird for me, and I can't listen to it. Like 12 Play, I can't listen to it because it's too weird. Like it's like, mm-hmm. And then when I like look at it from retrospect, it's like, you don't really need like to instruct somebody how to have sex with you. You know what I'm saying? If you're an adult. If you're somebody legal age adult, you don't have to instruct somebody like, okay, one, you do this, two, three, four, we do this. Like, you don't have to, like, instruct it like that. So it was weird listening to that. And then it kind of reminded me of the Aaron Hall song, what is it, Don't Be Afraid. Most of his
Don't
music
Be Afraid, yeah.
But play, like, that song, I said it on one show, like, that song is bad rapey.
That song is the
rapiest
song ever.
Oh, Aaron Hall, Don't Be Afraid? Yeah, that song is mad rape. Like, I can't even listen to it anymore because it's rape. He's like,
I mean,
no need to run, no need to hide.
Well, you
the
know,
first
Aaron
line
Hall,
in the
though,
song is, now I lay me down to sleep. Like, what?
And Aaron Hall also, you know, he dated a 16-year-old at the time, too, because Gloria Velez is actually his wife. And they had a child. Her child and my child are my oldest son, actually, are the same age. And me and her
wow.
were the same. And so, because I interviewed her when she was doing Dancing with Luke. And we had talked about that. Yeah, Aaron Hall is her child's father. And at the time, she was 16 and Aaron Hall was like 30.
Mm.
Yeah, that song is mad rapey.
You look away from R. Kelly for real.
Cause he's like, don't need to run, don't need to hide. I got you locked, baby. I have you inside. Like, what, sir? Like, that don't sound right at all. Like, I want to know who wrote that song. That's why I need to Google the credits on that and see who's right or if he wrote it. Cause I can't get with that song. And his songs around me are R. Kelly's, the 12 Play and the R album, which were good albums, but it's like, when you get into detail of it, even some songs on Chocolate Factory, I can't, it's like, and then,
okay,
CC2.com,
I'm gonna be honest.
I'm gonna be honest.
I do skip some songs on Chocolate Factory now, because I honestly don't know whether he's talking about a grown woman or an underage
yes.
girl.
I just think anything about sex, because like I said, I'm a hypocrite, because I listen to, like, even not just his songs, but he's written for other people, so you can't, it's inevitable. Just like with any other person that has scandal, I said on there that has scandal, like he's written for Maxwell Fortunate. That's one of my favorite songs. Like, I'm not going to stop listening to his song because R. Kelly wrote it. It's like inevitable to not listen to it, but I think something like directly, like his, I think I'll just say specifically his sex songs I can't listen to because I feel like he's talking
right.
about somebody's child and I can't get with that as well. But it was just, me saying that, I was just disturbed more of, like, I think this conversation, I feel like we always forget to talk about the young black girls, and it's not just the fact he messes with these kind of 18-year-old or 19-year-old, it's he's picking specific kind of black girls. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So whether or not
friends.
They have a mother, you're right, whether or not
no,
they
I'm
have...
Saying,
whether,
have
oh, go ahead.
No, I was saying, I have friends who are my age from Chicago, who born and raised in Chicago, who have personally told me it was nothing to see, you know, the time that we were in high school or graduating high school, R. Kelly hanging around their high schools or his old alma mater, his high school, and that's how he would pick up these girls, these young girls. Basically, he's a predator. He would prey on these underage girls from certain communities because he knew that he could, you know, somehow
right.
gain their interest or take, you know, do what he wants.
Lure them with
that's,
gifts.
That's right. That's the problem. You know, flash a couple dollars and, you know, something shiny and he got them.
Yeah, he did the same thing here in Oklahoma as well. That was something that everybody knew. R. Kelly had taken quite a few girls from here. And
yeah.
though, they were young. They were some high school kids. But I have to interject, though. Not that I'm, listen, I got to throw this disclaimer out there. I always have to before I say anything. You know, they go, oh, my God.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that comes for you quick. Quickly, okay? But, and I'm not, like I said, R. Kelly, I do not agree with what he was doing, even though he's been doing it for years. I don't agree with it. You know what I'm saying? But I will say, though, that we got to kind of look at the time whenever he was coming up. And then what I mean by that is that it was accepted in the early 90s. As much as people don't want to admit it, I mean, even before then, you know, your great-grandma and them, your grandparents, with your, you know, some of them had their grandpas was 21 and the grandma was 14. So
Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, most of it was accepted up until, like, the early 90s because even DVDs to me, like, don't do me. They say backstage, underage, adolescent, how you doing? Fine. You know what I'm saying? She replied, I like to do the wild thing. I mean, it was accepted. Now, like I said, I'm not saying that it was correct.
But what
that's why you have such a conflict because you have people that grew up in that time when that part was when it was okay, which it never should have been okay, but it was totally accepted, and now it's not. You know what I mean? And R. Kelly has been open about the fact of his troubled childhood. I mean, he was molested by a man and a woman. You know, he got caught being a different time whenever he was like 8 years old. So I agree. It's something he's going to have to seek therapy for and probably be away from school zone because this has been an issue that he's been battling since he was eight.
His whole life.
I forgot what interview it was. It was something. I want to say it was GQ or something like that. It was like a little small clip. I saw somebody put on Twitter. I think somebody retweeted on there, and it was him talking about his mother and saying that he wanted to marry his mama, and that when she would kiss her glass with the lipstick on, when she would drink, he would kiss it like tongue kiss it or something like that. I was like, something wrong with him. Like
something
the way he was talking about, it was like that kind of obvious, and he was just saying it casually like it was nothing. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's something wrong with you. But I just don't like, it was somebody that came on my page. Somebody had shared my post, and somebody came on, and I blocked them. I'm not going front. I blocked them. I let it go on to the point, but when you start making apologies, like, don't group, I just don't like the ones that group him in with, like, saying, oh, you can't condemn a black man and try to put him in the justice system. Like, they were caping hard on that part. Now, that part right there, you're doing too much. And then I blocked him because he said I was going off of emotion. First off, he was loud wrong anyway because he didn't read the whole post and what I said because he was bringing up, he going to try to bring up my Rick James. Y'all know I got that Rick James and Prince picture on almost all parts of my social media. I don't care. I love it. And I said in the post that, he was trying to check me saying that, oh, I got Rick James and Prince in my profile pic, so I don't need to be, I said, so how you can judge that or whatever. That's basically what he's trying to say. He said he wasn't trying to, you know, start nothing or whatever, but you was, but if you would have read my post, I said that there's plenty of artists. I'm not stupid. I'm not oblivious. Like Miles Davis, we can go down the list. James Brown, we can go down the list of all these different singers. And I'm like, that's two separate things right there. I'm like, you're doing an apples and oranges thing. That's completely separate from the point I'm making. I'm saying that there's something directly, like, obviously wrong with R. Kelly. And I'm like, it's a little bit different from, that doesn't come through everybody's music like his do. That's what my point was. And I said, I said in there I was a hypocrite. And then he says that, and then he keeps going and saying that I was going off of emotion because I said there's actual documentation of them filing police reports and some of them recanting their stories because they're getting paid. And then he's going to tell me I was being emotional. And he's being emotional, saying,
I think people seem to forget, too, that this dude was caught with child pornography. Like, at the end of the day, he had, whenever that big case hit, and, you know, I think it was like about 2004, 2005, or whatever, when that big case hit, he had, like, 22 counts of child pornography that he had in his possession. The only reason why he wasn't convicted on that one was because, number one, whenever they seized those tapes, it was deemed that the police obtained them illegally. So that was number one. That was the first part of the case.
And then the second blow was Sparkle's niece deciding that she didn't want to testify against him because of whatever reason, and the family got paid on the low. So,
mm-hmm.
like, we're acting as if just because he was found not guilty that he was actually not guilty. No, we have to look at everything that played into those cases because at the end of the day, there was a reason that the cases weren't able to go through, and that's why so many people are upset. And I completely agree. I mean, there's a bang of musicians with a lot of issues. We all know that. Nobody's perfect, and mm-hmm. that's why we celebrate their gifts and not the person. However, the reason why most people want to boycott R. Kelly is because we, as a community, have allowed this to go on for so long and continue to support him. Y'all notice every time R. Kelly get caught up in one of these little child molestation or rape or juvenile rape cases, whatever you want to say, sexual assault, he always comes out with a fire hit, and we're like, oh, let's step the name.
Yep, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And then we support exactly. him and move on and act like it didn't happen. And that's why the people calling for boycott is so important, and why they're doing it is because it's trying to say, we got to send a message some way to let him know, hey, we're not supporting this. And let the black women know and black girls know, hey, we do hear you. You know what I'm saying? I'm far from an apologist, but I agree that there's consequences for their actions. But I also believe that R. Kelly needs help too. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Oh yeah, definitely.
What we're going to do right now, we go to break. We still got Raggedy People. I feel like we're going to spend a whole lot of time on Raggedy People news this week because it's a whole lot of mess going on, and it's a lot of Raggedy People in the news. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to break right here, and when we get back, we talk more. I think we get into the Lil Duval and Breakfast Club interview after the break.
Oh, boy.
What do you see deep in the recesses of your own mind as the future of our nation? And I ask that question in that way because I think that the future of the Negro and the future of the nation are linked.
They're insoluble.
Yeah. Now, what do you see? Are you essentially optimistic or pessimistic? And I really don't want to put words in your mouth because what I really want to find out is what you really believe.
Well, I'm both glad and sorry you asked me that question. I'll do my best to answer it. I can't be a pessimist because I'm alive. To be a pessimist means that you have agreed that human life is an academic matter. So I'm supposed to be an optimist. I'm supposed to believe that we can survive whatever we must survive. But the Negro in this country, the future of the Negro in this country is precisely as bright or as dark as the future of the country. It is entirely up to the American people and our representatives. It is entirely up to the American people whether or not they're going to face and deal with and embrace this stranger whom they maligned so long. What white people have to do is try to find out in their own hearts why it was necessary to have a nigger in the first place. Because I'm not a nigger. I'm a man. But if you think I'm a nigger, it means you need it. The question you've got to ask yourself, the white population of this country has got to ask itself, north and south, because it's one country, and for a Negro, there's no difference in north and the south. There's just a difference in the way they castrate you. But the fact of the castration is the American fact. If I'm not the nigger here, and you invented him, you, the white people, invented him, then you got to find out why.
Well,
and the future of the country depends on that, whether or not it's able to ask that question. I was right.
Welcome back to Studio W The Buzz and the Soul Savvy Show with your host, EB and Q Lynn Green, with special guest Tiffany.
That is the joint right there.
That is the joint. Midnight Star.
Franco. Midnight Star. I think my favorite is Slow Jam from there.
Babyface wrote that.
Yeah, Babyface. That's what I was about to say. Babyface wrote that. Yeah. That was his first hit. Yeah, I didn't even know he was doing that. Right. I didn't even know he did that during. That's cool about, like, when I read Ellen Reed's book and you kind of get, like, a time track of history.
Yep.
I didn't know he did that before he got on. I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Because he was doing it, like, when him and L.A. was getting ready to start making hits together, like, during the mid-'80s or whatever. I was like, I didn't even know
before
that.
Before the deal and everything.
Yeah, and I guess we get right to it because we run out of time. Like, dang, we talk so much about R. Kelly, that pervert. We should stop that. I wasn't even going to go into it that deep, but yeah, something weird. I told y'all, I don't trust people with beady eyes. He's like quintessential, untrustworthy with the beady eyes. I got these scientific theories of like people with beady eyes, I don't trust them. People that got that built up spit in their mouth on the side of the corners, I don't trust them.
In the corner,
spit. I don't trust people that, It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of crazy stuff. I don't trust people with tangled eyes. I don't trust them with my pocketbook or nothing. That's an old school word. Shout out to people from country. Because I don't know what my pocketbook is. I don't trust people with tangled eyes. It's a whole lot of stuff. But we're going to get to, I played James Baldwin clip because, like I said, it was his birthday. And I feel like that clip kind of like sums up so much. If y'all could hear people listening, because he's speaking so much truth, especially about this Colin Kaepernick business. I know I said we were going to talk about Duval, but I just want to get this out the way with Colin Kaepernick. I feel like it's quite simple what he said in the beginning, why he was kneeling, of that he's tired of black people being shot, basically is what he's saying. And I feel like it's a simple concept to get, especially with all these shootings and murders of cops killing people. Unarmed people, black or I know recently it was a white woman. I feel like that's still wrong as well. But, you know, for people to be outraged by it just shows, like, the massive rate of racism. I knew it already existed in the football, but for so many owners to be showing their prejudice like this is ridiculous to me. And the simple fact that he can't get on just for the simple fact that he's speaking out, and this is a way for them to say, sit down, boy. And we're gonna make an example out of you. And
exactly.
If anybody like you that does this, it's pretty quite simple what they're doing. And the follow the fans are speaking out about it. And I'm like, their word means anything, even though some of the owners might say that might cause something with the ticket sales and stuff like that. But basically, with the owners being so prejudiced about it, we already knew they were racist. But dang, just for y'all to do that, like y'all go against this, but y'all got like domestic abusers, y'all got
rapists,
child beaters, rapists that play in the, but this guy kneeling on the ground is an issue. And for me, it's that simple. And I feel like if you are against that, then you simply are okay with the oppression of anybody more than black people. You just oppress of any kind of anybody that you despise just from the color of their skin. You got an issue with, and I feel that way. And I feel like now I gotta give up. You know who my favorite player was in the NFL, reason why I started watching it was Ray Lewis. And now I can't even listen to nothing he on now, cause he on that bullcrap too. I'm like, dude, I'm like, you are my favorite player of all time. The reason why I started watching it, cause I ain't watch NFL until I got older. I didn't even care to watch it. But you're like the best defensive player in the world. And then you come on, and then you already had some scandals and stuff going on. Alleged stuff already. Murdered somebody. I don't even know the whole stories on all that stuff. But you went through all that, and you're going to come on and say that this is insignificant, and he don't need to be doing it. Oh, man, we got to get you up out of here. And then my Baltimore Ravens is tripping, too. Like, this, for them to be acting like Colin Kaepernick can play. Like, this is how racism is real. Because I remember when he got drafted and they were all up on him, like up his ass, like praising him. Like when I remember that specifically. And when they almost won the Super Bowl that year, they was giving him crazy praise. So it's crazy to me the quick transition from really loving him to really hating him. And in a matter of years, this isn't like 10, 15 years ago. This is like 5 years ago. Like, when did they go to the Super Bowl? Like, what was it, 2009 or something? Like, 2010? It wasn't even that long ago. It was like, I forgot when it was. I gotta Google that, but it wasn't that long ago. But he can still play. Like, last year he did good. So, it's just the, and even, what's his name, Shannon Sharp on Fox Sports, he attested to that, that his stats were good enough for somebody to pick him up. And they just doing this because he knew it. And then when he brought it up to Ray Lewis, they were debating, and he's like, oh, I'm not worried about that or something like that. And I'm like, really, dude? Seriously? You really? But yeah, I just think that's stupid. I was just going to casually say that to anybody. If y'all still got issue with it, you dumb to me. Like, or you just,
I mean, you're very dumb. And the thing is, the focus is no longer on what he was trying to bring attention to, which was, you know, murders of innocent black people in this country every day, as somebody knew in the headlines. But now the focus is on him and what he's doing is wrong. And I really feel like what it's going to take to, at least in that particular situation, to change things is not just, you know, the fans and patrons of the NFL speaking out, but the players have to speak out as well. The players have to speak out. I don't know their contractual obligations or whatever, but a lot of the players may need to start, well, if this man is not signed, if these are the reasons he's not signed, it'd be different if they were giving other reasons that he was unsigned. But some of the owners have specifically said this is the reason why Colin hasn't been signed, is because of his stance on the flag and the national anthem or whatever. So I think what it's going to take is the players banding together, because I mean, in any sport, I mean, we dominate. Like, we are the cash cow. You know, we are who the people come to see. We make up the majority of the players in the NFL. Our athletes have to band together and say, no, this isn't right. And they have to take some sort of stance. Or we have to find some way to stop the sponsorship for the NFL, stop supporting the sponsors, boycott the sponsors. Because there is no reason this man isn't signed other than he decided to take a knee. That's it. And anybody right. who says different, you're being ignorant to the fact. And at this point, you're choosing to be ignorant. It's not that you didn't know. No, you were well informed and you're choosing to be ignorant. You're making excuses for racism and for murder. And that's just that. I mean, it's plain and simple. It's not nothing to, you know, go, you know, way deep into. You're being ignorant.
Exactly. What do you think about it, Tiffany?
I personally think that, you know, it's one of those situations where for Ray Lewis and for even Michael Vick to sit there and be criminals, you know what I'm saying? Like, for real, showing up criminals, even though Ray Lewis beat the case, by trying to say his witness, for them to even open and split their lips to say that he needs to he needs to change up his image or, you know, do all these different things to bend over backwards whenever Colin Kaepernick has not done nothing to break the rules. He has not done anything he hasn't done anything to other than protest and stand up for the rights of people that can't speak for themselves. So to me,
right.
That's the most bootlickingest trustee stuff I've ever seen in my life. That's number one. Number two, the owners, that's the reality of it. They're using people are going to protest and everything else. They're using that, the white code word for, we don't want any trouble because we know that he's going to stand for something. The very
right.
fact that he has some people rally behind him is a problem for them, because that means that if he anything he disagrees with, he can garner support. And I think that's
right.
bullcrap, because at the end of the day, if they're going to say that these are role models and things like that, especially at their pay rate, they want them to be have influence and not sit up here in the NFL be in the news every 5 seconds for a player while and out doing something they're not supposed to be doing and everything else. So I definitely believe that it's a whole bunch of bull crap, but at the end of the day, too, it's also showing that the NFL, like many other places, is a good old boy network, in my opinion.
Exactly. And I think, for me, I was hoping when he did that I thought after he did that it would have been perfect and the perfect thing for him to just come out and have like a great game and at least put the 49ers into the playoff you know what I mean, during that time whenever, because they had so many people injured during that. The reason why, because he was a backup quarterback, and I feel like, I think he wanted the starter quarterback for 49ers last year, got injured, and he came in, I think, mid-season, I think, and was starting a little bit, but then he wasn't really showing up. I think his stats wasn't that good, and then he came back to somebody else came. I forgot how it was, but I felt like if he just came out the gate just, like, throwing touchdowns and just really, like, showing up and, like, breaking records and stuff like that, then they wouldn't be saying talking about this, because they would be 100. If he was actually, like, putting up, like, a great stat like he was his rookie year and stuff like that, then they wouldn't even be arguing about this, because it would be good business, because they winning games and stuff like that. But none of the owners care anymore, because they see him as a don't even see him as a reasonable quarterback, even though his stats aren't that bad. But if he was doing extraordinary, they wouldn't even be making this a big deal. That's
see,
what
I think. Even if he was doing extraordinary, it would still be a big deal, because it's black lives. They don't care about
right.
that. They only care
right.
about your performance
right.
in the game.
Yeah, well, I think though, I feel like if he was doing so well to where, like, if it was on the level, like what LeBron did, like with them wearing the t-shirts and stuff like that, like he's a
mm-hmm.
championship winner, they didn't make a big deal about it because they're winning. You know what I mean? If
right.
they wasn't, then, even though they were still, like, had backlash, but I just feel like if Kaepernick, because I think Marlon Wayne said that on TMZ, had asked him that, and he was, like, basically saying the same thing I said, was saying that if he was, like, out there really winning, that would be as big of a deal. Yeah, that's my point.
Okay.
But his point was that he basically just put up the numbers to shut him up and all the haters or whoever. But now that he's not really doing it, they're going to use that. But it's not that bad. His record isn't that bad to where nobody can pick him up. That's what I'm saying. It's obvious because he's not throwing, like, Baltimore Ravens, like the dude that that's supposed to be backing up for Flacco, the starting quarterback, like he's horrible. Like he threw 7 touchdowns in the preseason. Like he threw, in a practice game. He threw 7 interceptions. And they rather keep that guy than put Kaepernick on, to sign him on. Like it's stupid. Like that was a good fit for him to be there. Because they have a young offensive line to where they could really do something with him, and I'm really mad they didn't take him, because that would have been a good fit for him. I think just offensively, the way he operates, I think that would have been a good place for him to be, and for the owner to be doing that, the owner to be out to be blocking it, because the GM was good with the Ravens GM and who else was it? I want to say it was the GM and it was somebody else. I want to say the coach. Yeah, the GM and the coach didn't have an issue with him being there. And it's the owner that was blocking it. So, but they claim, they said allegedly the owner had an issue with it, but y'all know what it is. I ain't stupid. If the GM is good and the coach is good with it, of course the owner got the last say in it. Like, I'm not dumb. Like, they saying it to try to dress it up like that ain't what the case was, but yeah, I just think any owner, you ain't even got to be in the league or nothing like that. But I, like you said, I feel like if it was more like football players backing him up, this was,
right.
I thought, but a lot of them are scared to lose
right.
their check or they side chick or they
exactly.
baby mamas and stuff like that. But yeah, either way, you stupid. So if you have anything against what he's saying, like y'all act like he out there like, saying F the cops or something like that on the field. Like, he's just kneeling down on the ground. Y'all got an issue with it. And then even it was military, they had a hashtag saying that the military supports Kaepernick. And yep. it was it went viral. Like, it was a trending thing. So for y'all, the ones that are saying that, like, you're lying. Like, it's a lot of them that were supporting them. People in their military uniform saying they support what he's saying. And his
exactly.
First Amendment right. So, yeah, we get off that. I guess we get to Lil Duval. I know that was a big deal. I saw some of the interview. I didn't watch the little 2-minute clips that I saw that were circulating on the internet, but I watched some of it. I don't really like Duval like that. Like, he's not that great of a comedian. Like, and I love comedians. I love all different kind of comedy, but he's corny to me. Like, I don't like none of his stuff. He's not funny to me, so I wasn't watching it just for his sake. I was just seeing what the controversy was, and from what I watched, I think DJ Envy was the one that was, like, asking questions. I don't know. How did it come up with the transgender conversation? How did that come up anyway? I didn't watch the whole thing. How did that come up? I just saw his response.
I think what happened was they were talking about situations where people have been tricked, quote-unquote, into sleeping with trans women or dating trans women or whatever reason. And Envy was the one who pulled up Janet Mock's book with her photo on the cover and was asking, are you trying to tell me she's not pretty, or are you trying to tell me you wouldn't try to holla? And just the week before, she had been a guest and was trying to break down, you know, some of the ignorant stereotypes that we as black people in particular have against the trans community. And I think that's how it came up. They were asking about or comparing, or not comparing, but they were asking about people being tricked before, or if you didn't know someone was born a male and is now a female. And Envy went too far with that. They should have never, first of all, the conversation should have never came up. That's a whole nother issue. But especially when they brought up Janet Mock's book cover, and she had just been a guest on this show, just trying to educate them on, you know, different stereotypes that we as black people have, or, you know, kind of basics, or I'm quote-unquote trans 101 here for people who don't understand, just trying to shed some light on the transgender community. And Envy brought... terrible example, was bringing her picture up, her book up. And then, of course, Duvall made these ignorant-ass, off-the-wall jokes, and Charlamagne chimed in, and it blew up from there.
Yeah, I'm sitting here reading the excerpts from the interview. It says he's talking about celebrating his 40th birthday, living single, and then it says they asked, concerned that he was, if he's concerned he's dating some of Usher's exes. And then it says, they asked him thoughts on Trump banning trans. That's where it says, they said DJ Envy asked him what was his thoughts on, no, they said Angela Yee asked his thoughts on Trump banning transgender people from military. And I think that's how that conversation, because it says after that, they said DJ Envy asked, what if you found out that someone you slept with was a transgender? And my thing is, with the comedian, I think, that, with the whole thing with the Trump banning transgender people, first off, that's not even something he could do on the internet. So I don't even know why people would, like, really, I understand the outrage, the hypocrisy in that, because he was just, like, campaigning for them whenever he was going against Hillary, saying that, oh, I'm going to do way more for y'all than she's going to do, whatever, and then turn around and do that. But he can't do that. Just because he says it on Twitter doesn't mean it's going to come to life.
Just like with
the Muslim ban, when he said that, like, just because he says things, like, he actually has to go through Congress to do this stuff. And, yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, he can't do it. Just because he tweets it out there doesn't mean it's going to happen. But I get what people, I got the outrage people are saying and the stupidity of it all. But asking a comedian these questions isn't something, he's not, first off, he's not clever enough to even do a joke.
Even
like,
asking
he's
him
too simple-minded.
Like,
yeah, exactly. He's too simple. Right, exactly. Like, if you ask Earthquake, like somebody that actually was in the military before, like people that have history of being in the military, you know, like Cheryl Underwood, somebody like that has been in the military, of course they can make some jokes or something like that because they can flip it. They're creative enough and smart enough to create a joke. Like with I know Dia Hughley made a joke, but whenever the Caitlyn Jenner thing was getting big, when she had transitioned, and he was like, man, she's ugly. This is an average looking white woman. Like he was, the way he said it, he was like, she got the bad, he's like, he should have just, I mean, Dia was like, Caitlyn should have got the package. What was the famous other black transgender woman? What's her name? I forgot her name. It's slipping my mind. I think she's on
the
show
Laverne
on Netflix.
Cox.
Yes, Laverne Cox. He said you should have got, because he was complimenting her, saying she was beautiful, and he was basically calling her an ugly white woman. That she looked like, Caitlyn Jenner looks like every other white average looking white woman he's ever met. Right. And he got backlash from it, but it wasn't insulting. He was just saying it was an ugly woman, whether or not, you know, she transitioned. He was just saying she was an ugly woman, but he was like, she should have, that Laverne Cox, he was giving a compliment, and he made it more creative. But what DL, what Duvall was saying when creative, like, he basically misgendered her. Yeah, he was, whenever I saw where.
He also made a joke right. about somebody got to die or murdering somebody when yeah. you look at the rate of transgender women in particular being murdered in this country, they are sky high. And somebody like Duvall on a nationally syndicated radio show advocating for or even joking about the murders of transgender women, that's just wrong. He took that too far. And I'm a firm believer in every joke there is some truth. And I believe that in his heart of hearts, that's how he feels. And
yeah, he was.
The
was
problem is that he
so
echoes
sad.
The sentiments of everybody. Like, there are a lot of people, black, white, men, women, whatever, who feel this way. But if you look at the rate and the cases this year alone, and you can go back a couple years, but this year alone, where transgender women have been murdered, it's mostly by men and then mostly by black men. So him saying this, it's not just, you know, oh, you made a bad joke. No, it's a problem because this leads to an overall mindset among people who listen to that show or who are fans of Lil Duval or who already have some sort of prejudice or misunderstanding of the trans community. And that's where he's wrong at. I mean, I can't even say the word I want to say. You want to say the
right.
word, but he messed up.
Right. You can say, yeah, right. If it's just flow, it's just flow. Yeah, I think with the whole thing, like I said, he's corny to me. So it, even bringing up anything political, the word, trying to get insight from him, like those are not his jokes. Like that, you can, that's the corny thing about some of these comedians that are not naturally funny. They'll try to, what he said, he's going to go back and apologize. I saw where he apologized for saying whatever that he might kill, whatever. Saying that, but you missed that. That's not a joke. That's not you joking
right.
around. Like that's your actual. Like I can tell when you setting up a joke in conversation. You know what I mean? Because you can tell. But those are his actual thoughts. Like I could tell when he was joking. Just like when they were baiting him with that question, he was like, "Okay, I'm here to promote whatever." That's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept. Wait. Asking the question, but he was going to say it regardless. But it was a joke. He said it's a lot like that. I think the thing was on the internet was them saying boycott the Breakfast Club because they allowed him. They feel like they're responsible for allowing him to say that. I don't agree with. I watch Breakfast Club. I love Breakfast Club. I love the interviews. And I listen to it. If I don't listen to it live, I listen to it to work. I don't really wake up whatever. I do they think be responsible for even asking him those ridiculous questions? Because because their lives, you know, at risk, you know, right. from people being miseducated or being ignorant, just like what Duval's doing, and thinking it's all about them and that, oh, a trans, their only goal is to manipulate me into thinking that they're a woman when they're really a man and all this other stuff, which is stupid because a lot of them do it out of safety of not telling. It's just a broader conversation to just simply trying to make cheap jokes, and I thought it was irresponsible for them to do that, even though they said that, oh, you know, it's wrong to talk about murdering somebody or whatever because it's a hate crime, but at the same breath, you can't be laughing when he cracks all these stupid jokes, because they wasn't funny to me, you know, him saying that. So for him to misgender her and say, oh, that is all right or whatever, he doing his thing, for you to do that and then you be laughing at it, that wasn't funny. And then for you to have that lady on and just had this discussion about this and how they're treated, and for you to go back the same week and kind of mock that, you're basically mocking.
Right.
Like, you're not helping at all. You can't say in one breath that you're helping them. Yeah, it's a waste of my time going up there if you didn't learn anything or even attempt to. I get Angela Yee. She's the, I think, the most practical one. But, yeah, DJ Envy is just stupid as hell. Like, I don't even – he asked the most dumbest questions. I think most of the time when I listen to the Breakfast Club, I just be like, what the – at DJ Envy, because he's just so ridiculous. But, yeah – I think another, what was the other story you wanted to talk about?
Go ahead.
As a woman who has a lot of, you know, trans and gay friends and family members and things like that, I do think that the comment that he made was ignorant, you know. However, I am going to say too that it was ignorant, but being in the industry that he's in, I don't want to say I understand it. What I'm saying is that I saw where he's coming from, because you have to understand there's a lot of, because we have to, the same way we point out Lil Duval, we also have to point out, you know, people that are doing it with ill intentions to get people caught up. We got the Sydney Stars out there.
Yeah, but isn't it, like, is that really the majority, though?
No, it's definitely not. It's not at all. But what I'm saying is that, you know, again, I'm not advocating nothing that he said, because it is ignorant as hell. But the reality of the situation is, and I've commented on this subject 1,001 times, whereas part of sexual liberation, in my opinion, because that's exactly what it is, I accept
right.
whoever they want to do, because it's not my bedroom. You know what I'm saying? It don't affect me, and what I do don't affect you. So at the end of the day, I love people for people. You know what I mean? But part of sexual liberation is, you know, you doing what you want to do, but then you give me the choice too. So if I meet what I assume is a man, and I fall in love with him and we have sex, and then I find out afterwards that he used to be a woman, to me, it's going to get a reaction, because it's the first thought is that of how I view myself. You know what I'm saying? And I know a lot of people say that's not their problem and everything else, but that's unfair, because at the end of the day, that's a part of sexual liberation. It's us having a upfront discussion. Hey, you know what? I let you know I like you, I'm digging you, but I used to be a woman, or I used to be a man, because that gives me the choice to then proceed, so I'm not blindsided by something that catches me off guard. And I think that we have to provide the healthy environment to where those discussions can be had. Because I've seen both.
Right.
I've seen some situations where dudes dead ass knew that was a man, but then they
right.
got blasted it, and now they want to act a fool. Nah, fam, you knew that was a dude. We knew it
right.
was a dude. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like.
Right.
I think the bigger picture of it is, I don't even think it's that, because I feel like it's not that extreme. Like, I think I was listening to the read, I forgot, I think it was earlier this afternoon, and they were talking about this, about Duval, whatever, and they were saying, and they made a great point saying that you don't do this, this is just only with this issue, like, when you find out your baby mama or your baby daddy cheating on you, like, I mean, some of them might think about killing a significant other, but you don't go that extreme about that. So why would you go that extreme about talking about this? Because, and I feel like, and it was somebody writing an article saying that it is toxic masculinity, like your masculinity is fragile. Like, okay, you found out you might have slept with, almost slept with a man. Like, is it really that serious to go that? Not saying you can't, but I feel like it's just too extreme. You know what I mean? To go from saying you killed like somebody for being a transgender. Yeah, no, I'm not saying you are, but I'm saying
for some people it could be. I mean, just imagine whatever you try not to be. Imagine you being with
your whole life,
and then you find out, you know, that you were exposed to something that you didn't know that you were being exposed to. Regardless of whatever it is, at the end of the day, people want the option, and that's exactly what it is. And I'm not comparing the LGBTQ community to disease at all. What I'm just saying is
that
people want the option of being able to accept or deny something. And I just think that we're going to see a decrease in violence in our community, because I can only speak for the African-American community. But we'll see a decrease in violence towards those type of situations when we create safe environments for people to have a discussion on how they feel. Because a lot of cases, I mean, quiet as it's kept, a lot of those cases where it is the extreme, there's maybe a few of them where they're hetero men, like true hetero men that flip.
Right.
A lot of them
exactly.
are men that are down low that are about to be exposed, so then they murder their counterpart. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So we have to create a safe space for these men who are homosexuals, you know, to not be in hiding or feel that they have to hide. Because that's why women complain, oh, well, if he knew he was gay, then he should have just told me. Well, it's not safe, because what's the first thing a woman's going to do when she finds out that a man is gay and she slept with him? She blasts it. Like, we have to learn to... Exactly. Like, we
have to
learn.
It's the same thing with the trans... Like, exposing, or not exposing, but with revealing that you were born the opposite sex. I can see how it's scary for them to have to tell somebody that, because you don't know how they're going to react. Just like
exactly.
if your baby daddy come home and all of a sudden you find out that he been sleeping with men, you blasting him. Like, you telling everybody. It's that same reaction at hurt or.
But I feel like all this child, to me, I don't want to be comfortable in a space to where people do that, period. Like, I feel like all that shit is corny, to be sitting there trying to blast somebody for being trans, messing with transgenders, or if you mess with somebody homeless. Like, all that's whack and corny to me. Like, grow up. Like, all that shit is childish. Like, I feel like Duval is the quintessential of all those men and women that think like that, like what EB said. But at the same time, I'm not going to give an excuse for anybody that feels like it's okay to blast somebody. Like, I would be more comfortable talking shit about, but I feel like the focus should be more on exercising them. Huh?
Remember Old Girl on Love and Hip Hop, when that one light-skinned dude came out, the other guy that was with Miles. Anyways, whenever he came out to her and how she reacted, the first thing she said was, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell everybody they was right about you. He wasn't even ready to tell everybody. He just told her, and he had to tell her in a safe space, because that's hurt. It's betrayal. You've been lied to.
Yep.
Again, I'm not advocating it, but that's why those discussions need to be had up front, and that's why we have to create the environment where people are comfortable say that, because I can't even imagine how hard it is to tell someone, let alone someone that you have loved at one point, hey, I'm not interested in you, not because of you, but because I'm in love with the same sex. That has to be the hardest conversation to have in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But we have to create environments to where a person doesn't have to feel like they're living a lie, to where those type of conversations can be had, to where they can tell you up front. You know what I mean?
Right. Man, we talked so much about this, and then Bobby Valentino, I think that goes on the same thing. What was you going to say about that? I just want to hear your thoughts on it, Evie, because I didn't know the story all the way.
I was just going to say, what bothered me most about the whole story wasn't the fact that it was a trans woman or whatever. It was the fact that he didn't pay the sex worker her money. Like, why are you sleeping with people and not paying them?
Right. I heard a little bit about that. Yeah. I don't even think that has anything to do with her being trans. I just think maybe that is the reason why she did the. Do you think she did the video just for the outing like that, or do you think he didn't pay him?
I see it both ways. On one hand, I see how she could do the video because she wasn't paid, she wasn't paid for her services. But on the other hand, that goes along with why did she really do that? Like, I'm sure there was some other way
for you to get paid or whatever besides going behind this man's back and pulling out your camera phone and filming him leaving your apartment half naked. Like, that to me is a bit malicious. And right. I couldn't say she was right for that, but I couldn't say he was right for not paying her. So I'm still in the middle about where I really stand on the whole issue, but I think they both were wrong in different ways.
Right, exactly. And hey, do what you want to do. Like, that's his business. If people want to be childish and say, oh, he gay, messing with his, whatever, look, that ain't your business. So what you worried about? And that's his business. Right. If you like that kind of sex, that's your business. Whoever you want to have sex with, whatever, that is your business, okay?
Exactly.
Ain't nobody else need to worry about that. But we run out of time. We're going to do the game again. What's wrong with you, game? Y'all won it. Y'all played this game and y'all won it. But I just got maybe two of them. I think I got one each for both of y'all, and it should be easy. And y'all should get it right. For EB, I'm going to do this for you. Okay, Millie Jackson or Gladys Knight?
Ooh, okay. Vocally or, I mean,
this
Gladys
count,
Knight.
Oh, yeah, vocally. Gladys Knight.
Gladys, yeah.
Okay. Nothing wrong with you on that. I was just going to say, either way would have been good. Cause
right.
Jackson, he's like the X-rated. I feel like Millie Jackson was the X-rated version of Gladys Knight because she was like the first like comedian / hip-hop artist.
Right.
Some of the
singer, rapper.
Yeah, singer, rapper, all that stuff. Yeah, you okay, nothing wrong with you. Nothing wrong with you this week. I was just going to throw that one out there. Let me see. Tiffany, I got one for you. This one should be easy. Brandy or Monica?
Ooh, Brandy. Ooh, singing? Oh. I'm gonna have to go with Monica. Only reason is because Monica, Brandy had an hit, though.
I just gave you an alley-oop.
I'm going with Brandy.
You're talking I wish I had sound effects.
Wait.
You was about to get the buzzer for that. If you
we were only
mine.
Talking about
what?
Vocally, right? Just
well,
vocally,
yeah,
right?
Vocally, yeah.
Okay, because, okay, all right. I can rock with that then.
I was about to say, I was thinking about doing a music catalog, but I was like, nah, because they about equal. We just go with singers. But yeah, you tune into the Soul Savage Radio Show, what we do right now. Y'all can plug what y'all have going on. Tiffany, you go first.
The main thing that I got going on right now, Polo, of course, Polo the Pave God. He's getting ready to drop his album this year. TG is another one that we need to be on the lookout for. He's his latest single that he dropped. Well, he's got three, actually, that's getting ready to drop. But Best Friend is the latest single that he's going to drop the video for next week. Of course, check me out on The Source, Grip, and Respect Mag. And you can find me on everything, Tumblr, Instagram, Twitter, at TiffHTheWriter.
EB?
Of course, I'm on every Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, EB for Prez, and I just launched my website, www.ebforprez.com. It'll be music, black culture. There will be more posts coming this week.
You find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, my whole thing, QLN Green, or my website page, Soul Savinus, SOUL. SAVVINESS. I'm gonna get some new posts for y'all. I know people I just came back from vacation. I'm trying to get it together, y'all. I'm gonna have some album reviews, I think some album reviews and some new music for y'all next week. I'm trying to get it together. Trying to recoup cause y'all aunties and uncles had me out lit at that Earth, Wind & Fire concert. That was the best concert ever. And I'm gonna be, guess what? You can find me tomorrow night if you in Dallas area at the Grand Prairie of Rising Theater, 8 o'clock tomorrow, Dallas time. If you go be in there, if you see me out, say hi, say what's up. It's gonna be the Frankie Beverly and Mays and Isley Brothers concert. It's gonna be lit. Your aunties and uncles gonna be out there with their Cisco and they Jack Daniels and they Hennessy sipping. And I'm gonna be out there with them with their finest linen cloth on and they Stacey Adams and God, smell like Old Spice and black and unlit black and miles under that motherfucker. And I'm gonna be lit up in there. So
ain't got no savvy talk this week. I've run out of stuff. But your aunties and uncles gonna be lit this weekend. That's my savvy talk. So thank you for tuning in to Soul Savvy Radio. We'll be back next Friday.
All right, stay tuned. Hey, Q Liz, stay right there. And I want to thank you so much. What a great show. I listened to the entire show. You guys are off the chain. EB, thank you. And Tiffany, you're a wonderful, wonderful guest. Hey,
share your great goose with me out there, people.
Q-Lin.
Share your auntie uncle. Share that great goose with me.
Oh, God, Q-Lin.
Hey,
folks, you know she's out of control, right? And we wouldn't have it any other way. Hey, Q-Lin. Hey, you forgot to announce what's coming up. We've got Braxton's Back Tonight coming in up in just a few short minutes, so we need your listeners to stay tuned to The Buzz, right? She's got an exciting show tonight. Tomorrow, you don't want to miss this. Your friend out of Arkansas, Ann Wooten Taylor, Eden is an act of worship ministries, and then a replay of Coach's Corner and Connection. That is the only police show aired anywhere that we know about in the world. It's designed to answer some of those questions that you had earlier. How to bridge the gap between our community and law enforcement. Can it be done? We don't know. Stay tuned to The Buzz. Now, you guys were talking about Colin Kaepernick on Groove Talk Radio. That will be the topic tomorrow. And I don't know how we sync like this. But Tierre, your good friend Tierre, will be talking about Colin Kaepernick, and we will discuss that. That's at 12:15. So we need your audience to stay tuned. Now, ironically, you know we have this sports page, and that's at 7 o'clock your time, 5 o'clock on the west, and 8 o'clock on the east coast. Guess who are we going to talk about? Colin Kaepernick. So, folks, this is not going away. It is not going away. So stay tuned. Now, Sunday, Gospel on the Buzz. Okay, we play gospel, and we play that from 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. until 3:30 p.m. on the West Coast. And on the Boomerang Show at 3:30, guess what we're going to talk about? Colin Kaepernick. All right? I mean, no, seriously. And I'll tell you why. And I'm just going to take a few short minutes to say this. This man was blackballed, if you guys don't remember, he was blackballed by Donald Trump. He was blackballed by Donald Trump, and Donald Trump got on national TV, and he said that no owner wants to sign this man because they don't want to get a nasty tweet from me. Who is he, God? My point is, folks, we have to pay attention and stay tuned to what's going on. So there's a lot going on the buzz. Adrian's in the house. Say hello, Adrian.
Hello. How are you?
You
I'm
know,
here.
You know, you have your wild friend, Q-Lin Green, on. And
hey,
EB.
Sister. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. He's talking about the eating as an act of worship tomorrow. I'll be doing the drinking as an act of worship tomorrow. That's what I'll be doing. I'll be doing the drinking as an act of worship.
You know.
Hallelujah. Won't he do it?
Evie, Tiffany.